Matins, as found on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O come, let us worship the Lord. Now continue with the introit as printed in your bulletin insert. Be strong and let your heart take courage. But I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. Make your face shine on your servant.
Save me in your steadfast.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be strong, and let your heart take courage.
You
may be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame, for he who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise. Our gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 9. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out. They were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated as we invite our children forward. Well, good morning, kids. A few of you got it. So, we're here. We got rally day where CWS is going to start up, right? How many of you expect you're going to be there? All kinds of you. That's great. Awesome. And we happen to have in the reading story about a boy. We don't know how old he was, but his father's taking care of him, right? Are any of you listening? What was up with the boy? You listening to the reading? Do you know what was going on there? He's possessed by a demon, and it would throw him down, and he would basically have seizures, and it would try to kill him, throw him into fire, into water. And so his father was trying to bring him to Jesus so that he could be freed from this. Now, how did you guys get here this morning? A car? Were you driving the car? Were you driving the truck? yeah, sure. Did you get here on your own? No? Who got you here? Your parents, right? They're doing their job, just like the father was in the story. Okay. How are you going to get to CWS if you're coming on Wednesday? The same way, right? Someone's going to bring you, parents, whoever's taking care of you. So they're doing their job because they know from their own experience that we all have this, we all have our own unclean spirit within us. We all have our own sin. And it wishes to kill us. As it talks, like, our tongue is one way that it tries to kill us. Now, our tongue spews all kinds of evil. It gets us to sin so that we die. And your parents bring you here to church. They brought you here to the baptismal font. Why? What happens at the baptismal font? You're baptized, and that means you're saved from that sin. That spirit, you're no longer held by the guilt of that spirit. And over the course of your life, it's gradually driven out until in eternal life, it is gone completely. So, was anyone listening? What did the father say about, he said, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." He knew enough to say, "Jesus, you can help me," right? But he wasn't completely sure of it. He was pretty sure. He didn't know everything about how Jesus was going to do this. I mean, that baby is much of what he was confused about. So to come to CWS and you learn the faith, you come to Sunday morning and you learn the faith, you learn how Jesus will save you. You learn that he does save you. And you come to have that spirit driven out through prayer here. And what comes at the end of most of our prayers? We have in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or in the name of Jesus, right? We know that we can pray in his name and call upon him to drive that spirit out of us. So continue to come, listen to your parents. They are doing a good service for you. Come and learn that that spirit is driven out, that Jesus has died for your sin, and that you have been purified in baptism. You pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, you have given us our parents to pass your faith on to us, to be a source of your word. Grant that all children may learn from their parents your word, and that they may be brought from having an unclean spirit to your clean spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we may all reach salvation. In Jesus' name, all God's children say, Amen. You may walk back to your seats. We now sing the hymn of the day.
Brothers and sisters of Zion Lutheran Church, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to Him, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all that you have made, you have deemed as very good. But we sinful creatures have broken your commands, and nothing issues forth from our mouths except defilement. Help us, Lord, to only trust in you. And the words of our mouths may be sweet sound in your ears. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A world of unrighteousness, a flame, an untamable creature. These are the descriptions that St. James uses to describe our tongues. Maybe he's exaggerating a bit, right? But he isn't. James is not overstating the power of the tongue. One of the functions of the tongue is to give speech to the inner thoughts. And if we remember from a few weeks ago, our inner thoughts are nothing but words of defilement, and all the worst defilement imaginable. Jesus says in the Gospel according to St. Mark, all evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And our tongues are the vehicle, they are the tools that gives life to evil thoughts. It truly is a world of unrighteousness. with our tongue, as James states, the same tongue gives forth blessing and cursing. But it is also to do much more than that. The first two commandments calls us to fear, love, and trust in God alone for all that he has done for us and all that he continues to do for us. But we don't, some of the times. We do not fear God as we should. We do not trust in his merciful will for us and his abundant love at some times. We fear death more than we fear the one who has power over life and death. We do not trust that he will provide for us, although he has done nothing but showered us with his blessings. We are well fed, we are well dressed, and yet, at the first sign of trouble, we begin to spiral into worry and into despair. We get news that a family member's cancer is reoccurring. We hear that a friend has a miscarriage. Our car breaks down on the highway and leaves us destitute with no transport. An unexpected bill comes up that must be paid. A seemingly unbeatable disease sweeps the nation, and you lose your job because of it. And these are serious matters. These are real troubles. And our first reaction should be what St. Paul prescribes for us in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This should be our first response to our troubles, but oftentimes it isn't. We fear our situation, and it causes us to lose trust in God, to not trust him to deliver us from our situations. And the sad thing is, though, we don't even need to be confronted with something serious to curse God with our tongues. No, it begins when we start taking for granted our blessings, what we have been blessed with by him so freely. When we become unthankful and do not use our tongues to praise God. But what do I mean by that? Simply put, let me ask you a few questions. How many times have you been hungry and you open the fridge to see all your food inside and you slam it in disgust and say, I have nothing to eat? How many times have you looked into your full wardrobe and you let out that groan, ah, I have nothing to wear? We complain that the hot water takes too long to get warm, when all we have to do is turn a knob, and there it is. In the face of all these blessings, we dishonor God by our actions, by not praising him as we ought to. St. Paul again proclaims that we should always be praising God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm not going to say we're in good company in those times when we don't praise God, because the company that we share it with is not good company. But we're not alone in this. There is one group of people that really highlights the ingratitude of their blessings, but also outright turning away from God And this, of course, refers to the people of Israel as God called them out of Egypt and their flight from slavery. God was right in calling them a stiff-necked people. They were unwilling to turn towards God because they knew that to do so would cause them pain. And despite seeing the 10 plagues that devastated Egypt, despite witnessing firsthand the tremendous majesty of God on top of Mount Sinai, the people of Israel do not praise God. At least Pharaoh's court magicians recognize the power of God. They proclaim with their tongues that this is the finger of God. The children of Israel, God's own possession, doesn't do this. Rather, they cast God aside, they curse him, and they erect a golden calf in his place that they might have something to worship. And when pressed on this matter, Aaron's tongue frames deceit. He tries to worm his way out of his responsibility by giving the excuse that all I did was throw the gold into the fire, and out came this calf. Aaron's response reads very similar to Adam and Eve's response when God questioned them about eating the forbidden fruit. The woman whom you gave me, she gave, and I ate. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Like Adam and Eve, Aaron and all the people of Israel saw God. They saw the presence of God. They saw his great majesty and his deeds that he did in Egypt, how he rescued them from slavery. And yet, they plotted against God. They grumbled against him and sought to make their own gods. This isn't the first time that discontent has happened with the people of Israel. They were unsatisfied with the bread from heaven that they freely got. They were not going hungry. Every day was provided for them. All they had to do was stretch out their hand, pick up the manna, and they could eat. But like us, when God blesses us in abundance, when we open that fully stocked fridge, they complained that they had nothing to eat. In the book of Numbers, it reads, "Now the multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we freely ate in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole body is being dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" What ingratitude. They were well cared for, but it wasn't enough when it should have been. And the same goes for us. We are well cared for, and yet we worry where our next meal is going to come from when we shouldn't. For we are abundantly blessed with food daily. We do not trust in God as we should. But however, Christ comes to bring comfort with these words. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." And yet that doesn't seem to be enough for us at times. It's easy for us to get lost in this world of unrighteousness. Although we are told by Christ that we are not to worry about these things, it seems like we can do nothing else but drown in this overwhelming sea of sorrow around us. The radio is full of talk shows where the hosts are full of pent-up anger and frustrations. They steadily raise the volume of their voice as they keep casting accusations and names at their opponents. Soon those who oppose them are made out to be little more than animals. People, mankind, we who are made in the image of God by his own hands are regarded as animals. In the news, the hosts are a little bit better, News anchors and so-called professional analysts separate and divide mankind where division does not belong. They divide communities and cities based on skin color, saying that because of one's skin color, they must be barbaric. They must be ignorant, hateful, and the cause of all oppression. Again and again and again, God's magnificent creation is degraded and relegated to little more than animals. Children are portrayed as burdens and parasites rather than miraculous creations. Dogs and cats are given better treatment. They're getting given better love and better lip service than children. The nuclear family is looked at with disgust, and you are seen as brave if you have a same-sex couple. Those in the womb are regarded as inconvenience and disposable. What hate, what avarice, what greed, what selfishness. We are bombarded with this hate and this greed daily, day after day, all day long. Proverbs 15:4 states, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit." And our spirits do become weary of all this unrighteousness that pours from our lips, not just our lips, but all mankind's lips. It's too much. We are beaten down by the tongues of others and by our own tongues as well. The untamable creature, that tongue, plunges us into a sea of unrighteousness. And it's a dark sea. Its continuous waves push us under. The currents of unbelief begin to pull at our legs. We fight frantically to swim up to break the surface, to get some air, to see the light. But we can't. The more we struggle, the more we try, the more we choke and get pulled deeper down, away from the light. Finally, we cry out, "I believe, help my unbelief." And with that, we see a light in the darkness. In the darkness, the crucified Lord stands illuminated, and we hear his prayer for us. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And with that prayer from Christ, we break the surface. For nothing can break this curse in our lives. Nothing except Christ and him crucified. Again, we hear his prayers for us. "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." And with that, he cast out, as it were, the spirit of our flesh. And he clothes us in the spirit of righteousness. When this happens, we appear dead to the world. We cannot do whatever we please or whatever we would like. We cannot do the things that the world wants us to do. We appear dead and lifeless, as we may appear to be bound by restrictions and laws. But Christ comes. And he takes us by the hand and he guides us to the shores of righteousness. And thanks be to God that Jesus has come to free our souls for his salvation by dying on the cross in our place. Our tongues are no longer held captive. They are no longer a devouring fire if Christ is in us. For if Christ is in us, we can do nothing but proclaim the gratitude we have for his many blessings to us. Our tongues are not held captive by sin, but by God. And God gives us his Spirit, that our tongues may proclaim the salvation of God to all mankind, poor man, rich man, pauper, emperor alike. But it doesn't stop there, and it won't stop there. Because one day, our proclamations of Jesus' salvation will end here on earth. But we will proclaim the majesty and the love and the grace that God has given unto us to life everlasting. Amen. Now may the Father send the Holy Spirit upon us to guard our lips, that we may proclaim the salvation of Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Please rise for the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We praise thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, that, walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, we may enjoy the testimony of a good conscience and the hope of thy favor, be sustained and comforted under the troubles of this life, and finally, be received into thine everlasting kingdom, through thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer unto thee our common supplications for the good estate of thy church throughout the world, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Most heartily, we beseech thee with thy favor to behold the President and Congress of the United States and all others in authority, and so to replenish them with thy grace, that they may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Prosper all good counsels and all just works, that peace and happiness, truth and righteousness, religion and piety may be established among us throughout all generations. We humbly entreat thee also for all sorts and conditions of men, that thou would be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. We also commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience unto their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. Especially Marvin Grody, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and the families and friends of Nikki Strait and Ryan Fiesel. Lord of the Church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which sustains them unto salvation. Holy Spirit, grant discernment to Zion's call committee. Guide them by your word as they seek out the next man to feed them with your word and blessed sacraments. Hear us, most merciful God, in these our humble requests, which we offer up unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us all. May be seated. A couple announcements here. We have the anniversary committee would like help making pies next Saturday for the dinner on Sunday. If you're interested in helping, you can see Karen Schum or Carol Etzler for the details on that. And also a reminder that today is the last day to make reservations for the dinner next Sunday. So you can see any committee member for that. Otherwise, our announcements are in the bulletin. Pray God's blessings on your week. I'll see you in the back.